Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to episode 96 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And just before I get into the main subject for today, I want to ask, I've been asking for the last few weeks what people's favourite Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, blogs, podcasts are for learning business English. And today I'd like to know about YouTube channels. So if you know about any good YouTube channels that would be helpful for people who want to learn English, particularly business English, then let me know what they are, either by sending an email to Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y, at englishwithkirsty.com, or by using the contact form on the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode96. And there you can leave any other comments or requests or feedback, because that will come straight to me. Okay, so today's topic is something that I think happens to everybody at some point. It certainly happens to me, and it is kind of annoying when people, you ask somebody to do something and they don't do it, or they don't do it properly, or they only do part of it. And it is quite annoying, because then you have to go back to them and say, you know, thank you for your response about this, but I also need to know about this and this. And you sometimes think, why don't people just read stuff properly and do what I ask them to? And I don't think that has anything to do with language. I mean, certainly in previous jobs that I've had, I've been working with people that all, well, most of whom had English as a native language, and they still did this sometimes, and it drove me crazy. Particularly when I was in a role which involved a lot of organising, getting people to be where they needed to be, when they needed to be there, and they didn't read emails properly, and that was annoying. And sometimes there's nothing really you can do about that. You can do your best. You can write a really good email with really clear instructions, and people still don't follow them. And that, there's sometimes nothing you can do about that, because people are people, and, you know, people are busy, or people just don't take the time to read things properly. But I've seen other situations where people haven't done what they were asked to, but the person doing the asking didn't really make it very easy for them. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, because you may not be able to stop this completely. You know, there may be some times when people don't do what you want them to or ask them to, but there are things that you can do to make it more likely that they will succeed and that they will do it. And I'm just going to talk about a few of them now. So number one is make it easy for them. I remember a situation when I was in a previous job. We had this huge document. It was pages and pages. And every so often we needed to get updates from everybody. And the way it had been done in the past was to send the whole beast of a document out to everyone, expecting them to read the whole thing and comment on what was relevant to them. And surprisingly, no one did it, because it was a mammoth challenge. It was a really long document, and people just didn't have time for that. And so I suggested that I put the document in Excel, and I filtered it by who needed to respond on what, and it's kind of boring, but the point is that some people only needed to comment on a few lines in this document, and so I just pulled out what was relevant to them, sent it to them, and said, you know, can you give me an update on this, please? And surprisingly, I got better results, because everybody had a customized document that was relevant to them, and so they didn't have to read through loads of stuff that had nothing to do with them. They could just say, oh yeah, this is my update on the points that are relevant to me. And so that's quite a specific example, but I realized the reason why people weren't engaging with the process and weren't doing what they were being asked to was just because it was too long and irrelevant. So if you want somebody to do something for you, then make it easy for them. Only give them the information that they need, or just ask them specifically what you want them to do, rather than giving the same message to everybody and expecting people to work out what exactly they need to do. So number one is make it easy. Number two is make it relevant, and don't just send mass invitations to things and hope people will come. I am on the platform called Xing. It's a bit like LinkedIn, but it's very popular in the German-speaking world. And because a lot of my customers come from there, then it's good for me to be on this platform. But I sometimes get invitations to things that are completely irrelevant to me, for a start, and things that are nowhere near. I mean, they're live events in Germany. I'm not in Germany. I'm in the UK. I'm not going to fly to Germany for a breakfast meeting. It's not going to happen. But I know that people have just sent a mass invitation to all their contacts. It doesn't take long. And I've done it before, but I did it for a webinar, and that's kind of different because you don't actually have to be there to come to a webinar. But I don't think it's the best way to do things. Maybe you don't want anybody to miss out, so I can see why they do it. But I think a lot of the time people send mass invitations to all their friends on Facebook or all their contacts on Xing, and without really thinking, is this relevant to that person? Because if you keep sending me information or invitations that aren't relevant to me, I'm going to delete them. And then maybe I'll delete something that was relevant. But I've already thought, oh, this person keeps sending me stuff that I don't want. I may even delete you as a contact or unfriend you if it becomes too annoying. But if you don't filter what you send people, you will get a reputation with them as somebody who just sends rubbish or irrelevant stuff. And I did it with a personal event. I kind of see why it wasn't a very smart thing to do now. I invited my friends to something, but I didn't contact them. It was just a mass invitation, and yeah, people didn't turn up until I started writing to them and saying, oh, did you see this? Are you interested? I thought it would be interesting for you because... And then some people did, because I spoke to them individually. And obviously, if it's a big meeting, you can't speak to everybody individually. But I think if it's a really big group, you should at least try and filter out the people for whom it definitely won't be relevant, and just try and send things to people that they will actually want to come to. Because then you'll get a reputation for being relevant, not just for sending loads of mass emails. Because nobody likes mass emails, really. Most people just delete them. So number one is make it easy. Number two is make it relevant. Number three, it's kind of partly to do with make it easy, but also make it clear what you want them to do. Because I've had people kind of telling me all about the problems that they're having and why is a problem and what happened. And then in the end, I'm like, okay, well, are you just telling me because you're having a bad day and you want someone to talk to, or do you actually want my help? So if you do want somebody to do something for you, then be clear what it is that you want them to do and why. And then moving on to number four is make it timely. Don't ask somebody to do something that's going to take half their day a day before you need it. You know, that's just not fair, because they have things to do, they have their job to do, and they, if you need to take an amount of their time away, then they need to plan that in. And if you leave it till the day before you need something, when you've known about it for a couple of weeks, and then you suddenly start running around like a, in English we say like a headless chicken, like a, I don't know, crazy person, trying to, I need this now, I need this now. That's not fair, you know, because you've known about this, and your colleague may well be willing to help you, but they need some time to plan that into their schedule. Of course, things happen, you know, in where I used to work, things were very fast moving, and sometimes things did happen and everybody needed to pull together and make sure that things got done. But I'm talking more about things that people know about and they leave to the last minute and then ask colleagues for help, and you don't really feel like helping someone who does that. If you plan your work really well and then because someone else is disorganized and can't sort their life out, then you have to drop everything and help them. It doesn't really make you want to do that. So if you know you're going to need people's help, then give them time, give them notice so that they can build that into their day or their week. Number five is just a really obvious one, but make sure you ask the right person, because where I used to work, my name isn't that common. It's a Scottish name, so I don't know whether there are more Kirsties in Scotland. There are some of us around. But I used to work with somebody in the same, not in the same team, but in the same department, in the same kind of wider team. And she was the finance manager, and I wasn't. but I often used to get emails for her. Kirsty, can you sign this off? And I didn't have financial authority to sign things off across the whole area. She did, but I didn't. And people didn't pay attention to which Kirsty they were sending things to. So a lot of the time I just used to send it on to her and copy in the other person and say, you know, I'm not the right Kirsty, this is the right Kirsty. But obviously that delays things, because they had to wait for me to see it, for me to pass it on, and for her to receive it. And then, you know, that's just taking longer. So if you are going to ask somebody, make sure, especially if you don't know them very well, if there are people with similar names or the same names, or the same surname, or I don't know, but you have to make sure that you're sending things to the right people if you want them to respond, because I got that a lot. And similarly, spelling people's names right, because the amount of people that spell my name incorrectly is just like so many. With email, it will bounce back if you don't send if you don't spell it properly. But that is something to be aware of, because if you're getting emails bouncing back because you didn't spell someone's name right, well, then they're never going to get the email and they're never going to be able to help you because they don't know you're trying to email them because you spelled their name wrong. So, yeah, be aware of that one too. And also make sure that you know if there are any procedures in your company. Where I used to work, it was so that if somebody needed some extra help from another team, you were supposed to go to the manager of that team and ask them if they had staff that could help you, rather than just kind of grabbing a member of the team that wasn't the manager and saying, oh, can you do this for me? And it sounds a bit kind of petty, but sometimes I used to have people coming up to members of my staff saying, oh, I need you to do this, and they didn't have time. And whereas I would have said, no, we don't have time to do that, we can do it later, that my staff being asked by another manager were in an uncomfortable position, and it wasn't good. So if you know what the procedure is in your company, if there is a procedure like that, then make sure you follow it. Because I'm sure that the people who didn't follow it didn't know about it. They just thought they were more likely to get a yes from somebody who didn't like to say no to them than from another manager. But, you know, if there is something like that, make sure you know what it is, what the culture in your company is, if there's something like that. Also, if you want something that you can't have, like that's sometimes another reason why people don't do things. And you think, oh, why didn't you give me this data? But for example, you know, if you're asking for data in a way that the data isn't collected or to be broken down in a different way, then things may take time. And it's not that people are being unhelpful, it's that they maybe don't have that information. And if you really have to have it, then it may take longer to get that information. So just because you think that people should have certain information available, it may not be, because if you don't understand how the system works, what you want may not be possible because the data may not have been collected, or it may not be possible in the way that you want it. So I've seen that before, you know, like wanting to know about something specific when that thing wasn't logged, or wanting things to be broken down by calendar year when it's logged under the financial year, and it would take time and hassle and effort to sort it out. And you know, the person who's being asked has to decide whether it's worth their while, whether they actually have time to do that, and whether it's possible. And also, like computer systems, I used to be someone who was responsible for web pages and designing them and putting information up, and sometimes people wanted things that our system couldn't do, and it wasn't that I didn't know how to do them. I did check, and sometimes the way our website was designed, it would take a whole kind of, you know, you would need to redesign part of it to do exactly what they wanted to be done. Or maybe there was a rule that said, no, you can't just have everybody advertising what they want on the homepage, because that is, then the homepage would get really cluttered. And you know, sometimes you have to refuse a request because they're not reasonable, or they're not in line with the procedures that are already there. So sometimes you may have a really good idea, but if there's some reason why you can't do that, then people will say no and not do what you want them to. And then, yeah, you have to negotiate or give up on your idea. But basically, I just wanted to outline a few things, like a few reasons why people may not do what you ask them to as quickly as you want them to. As I said, sometimes it will just be that people don't read things properly, and there really isn't anything you can do about that as long as you write good and clear emails. But some of these other things are things that you can do, things that you can think about. So I hope that was helpful, and have a good week, and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.